Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Raising Your Kids Without Losing Your Cool by Chantal Bisson, narrated by Chantal Bisson. This book exists because of you, Brianna, Dominic, and Michaela. Without you, I never would have lost my cool at times. Actually, who am I kidding? Often daily. I'm thankful that you always forgave me, that we always worked it out, and that we've ended up each other's favorite people. I love you, thank you for this book, and remember, life is both simultaneously too long and too short to spend it not living your passion. Love, your mom. Introduction. So maybe you've seen me on TV discussing parenting. Perhaps you've read my blog and my online contributions to Huffington Post and Everything Zoomer. Now, the critical moment is upon you. You've checked out my photo and you've read the little blurb about what you can expect within this book. It's decision time. Do you continue listening or not? You speed read through my bio one more time. Her bio is unimpressive, you say to yourself. She doesn't have a degree in child education, psychology, family therapy, any of it. What makes her an expert? Why should I listen to her? I'll tell you the single most powerful reason. I am a survivor. I am the mother to not one, not two, but three daughters. I have lived through tween puberty and adolescence three times. I've weathered and counseled them through brutal breakups. I have sheltered them from bullies who just wouldn't quit. I've raised the first generation of social media children and managed to get all three of my girls to adulthood without one of them baring their boobs for some boy to screenshot and send around the globe. I am a parenting survivor. Being a parent is like being on the front line of a war every single day. And if you were going into an actual battle, who would you take with you? Somebody who theorizes about battle or someone who has actually survived it? I know who I would take. Let me tell you, I wasn't the sort of woman who daydreamed about being a mother. I wasn't the doll toting kind of kid. I was more of a climb the tree with my big brother and all his friends sort of girl. From a very young age, I had a vision for my life. I was put into dance class at the tender age of 4. And from the first time the footlights shone upon my smiling face and people clapped, I was bitten. I knew right then and there that I would be a performer. As the years went by and I went to the movies and watched glamorous women in film and television, I was determined to become one of them. Being a mother truly never crossed my mind. Not ever. I have not one single memory of envisioning my life with a husband or babies as part of the equation. But the universe had another plan, and there I found myself, 19 and pregnant, with a boy I didn't know I would love for 32 years, three daughters later. The odds were stacked heavily against us. We had been dating for only 4 months when we figured out we were expecting a baby. We were both from broken homes, both of us neglected by our parents, him by both parents, having been left to live on his own in pursuit of an acting career at the tender age of 15. Regardless of what a child wants, a parent still needs to parent and guide their child. And me, by a father who had no idea how to be in a relationship with a female if it wasn't sexual. My mother, a single parent, did all she could to give me a normal life and make up for the fact that my dad was not interested in me. So, picture these two 19-year-old people who barely know one another procreating. Yeah, wouldn't seem to be a hope in hell that we could work it out. Yet we did. Not only do we manage to stay together, 32 years and counting, but we have managed, despite all our baggage, our dysfunction, and the lack of example set before us, to raise three of the most well-rounded, sensitive, intelligent, bold, talented, fearless women you've ever met. Not perfect, as we all know there's no such thing, but solid, respectful, caring global citizens. We did a really great job, with few to no skills, even though we were young. Even though it looked from the outside as if we would crash and burn and become just another group of statistics, somehow we were like the tributes in the Hunger Games. Someone said, "May the odds be ever in your favor," and they were. But how? How did we manage to raise three incredible grown-up people who happened to be three of our favorite people on the planet without losing our cool? Well, those secrets are tucked into this book. I'm giving them to you. I'm giving them to you because this trend of helicopter and permissive parenting that is permeating our society is, pardon me for saying, fucking up our world. and it's pissing me off. It needs to stop. From when our first child, now 31 years old, was little to when our third child, now 23, came along, parenting seemed to have become more permissive. And I know the trend has continued since. Now we have kids who don't know how to accept defeat, failure, or the word no. This is a huge problem. Kids need to know how to lose. They need to know how to accept no as a complete answer. Not many parenting books will encourage you to discipline or to stay out of your kids' relationships with their teachers or their classmates. Nor are any of your girlfriends going to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth about pregnancy, delivery, and the state of your post-baby vag. But I will. I will also tell you right here, right now, that you're not always going to love your kid in the moment, but you will always love them. You won't always be thankful that you had them when the shit is hitting the fan. But in the end, they will become your favorite people. My book will give you the tools you need to get through all the challenges of being a parent without losing your cool. You can trust me on this. I've gone to battle, and I've won the war. Chapter 1. It begins. Let me begin by congratulating you on the impending arrival of your bundle of joy. All the cliches are true. A child will add so much to your life. But you know this already. You've watched your friends bring children into their lives. You've watched hundreds of movies in which two people fall in love, get married, have a child, and live happily ever after. Maybe you're just one of those people whose maternal instincts kicked in with your first baby doll. But however and whenever parenthood began for you, your journey now starts in earnest. For that, I send blessings of good health to you, your unborn baby, and your marriage, relationship, or partnership. Let me address the elephant in the room. Having kids is not all fun and games. Children are not all rainbows and butterflies. This is the biggest job you'll ever have, and the learning curve is steep. But you've got this. You will be an amazing parent. The fact that you're reading books, getting help in advance of your baby's arrival, proves it. Great parents are humble parents. Seeking help in an area that you know nothing about shows humility and responsibility and wisdom. Yay, you! Babies are giant lumps of responsibility and work. They are energy-sapping beings, beings you know nothing about. Believe me, as much as you know nothing until that baby appears. How to hold it, when to hold it, how long to feed it, when to put it to sleep, how long it should sleep in your room, the list is never ending. People might tell you your instincts will guide you, but I found that solid input and advice is just as, if not more, useful. There will be more things that you do not know than you do know. Things about this stranger in your home that you won't know until you get there. And that's okay. There will be many beautiful moments that you'll wish would never end. And there will be nights that you'll wish were already over. Wherever you are, whenever you get there, is totally normal. Promise me that you will take it one moment at a time. Give yourself grace and love. Lots and lots of love. Don't forget this. Promise. Keep in mind that it is totally normal to feel anxious about your impending role as a parent. Some of us may have had incredible role models in our own parents, but others may not have been so lucky. Regardless of how you feel or think about what you experienced in your own life before this moment, open yourself up to what you don't know. We all look to what was done to us in our own childhoods and keep some things and throw away others. We may look to our own parents as role models of our parenting ideals or as examples of what not to do. Even with a rough idea about the kind of parent you will be, there is still much you won't know when it comes to taking care of this new little person. It is a truly scary prospect. Why do you think there are so many books out there telling you what to expect? It's because what we don't know freaks us out, and every baby is totally different. Every family is totally different, and every new parent is totally different. No baby comes with a manual. There's no test that you can study for where you'll either pass or fail to determine whether you're going to be good at raising your kid. Much of parenting is learning on the job, and this job requires you to switch gears pretty much every minute of every day. As soon as you have baby figured out, they start teething and stop sleeping. Or they roll over for the first time while you're in the kitchen making a cup of tea, and they roll themselves right off the couch onto the carpeted, if you're lucky, floor. Yeah, that happened. Learn from me. don't leave a baby unattended on a piece of furniture. Ever. Basically, I'm going to be completely and sometimes embarrassingly, for me, honest with you about where I failed as a mom. I'll share some of my victories and my losses, hopefully to help you mitigate your own. Essentially, this book and I are your manual. Have you ever put together IKEA furniture using the sketchy half-assed instructions they come with? You know, all the pieces are there. They all seem familiar, but there's no language in the directions, just a tiny line-drawn person putting screws into holes. You, the builder, are following along as best you can, banging it all together. You hope that in the end, you will have a shelving unit that will actually hold the weight of the books you want to put on it. Inevitably, there are leftover screws you have no idea what to do with, so you shove those into a drawer and hope for the best. Being a parent is a lot like that. You've got this little human in your hands, and you're a human, so you sort of know what this new one needs, but it's not as if you recall being that small. So how can you know if you're feeding it enough? How will you know if it's warm enough, cool enough? How will you know anything about your baby? You can't talk to one another. You just sort of keep putting the screws in the holes, just like your IKEA furniture. You hope you're doing it the right way and that any leftover screws won't matter. And that's okay. The truth is, you are probably equal parts nervous and excited about having this baby. If you were to be totally honest with yourself or the person closest to you, chances are you would tell them that you're pretty freaked out about the whole thing. You wonder, how is my life going to be different? And the answer is totally. It will be totally, completely different. And that's okay too, because the cool thing is that it will be different in so many groovy ways you can never imagine. Like being awake in the middle of the night while the rest of the city sleeps. Those are the moments that allow for amazing, undistracted, uninterrupted bonding time with your baby, who, believe you me, will be moving out before you know it. So, if you're freaking out about how much your life is going to change or whether you'll be a good parent, relax. You can and should decide to just take this time of your life day by day, season by season. Making a baby is a miracle. It is the one time we get to actively partake in the creation of a miracle. So enjoy it. Celebrate it. Remember the miracle of it even when you're freaking out. But let me say this, and I will come back to it later. You are participating in a miracle. This is not the same thing as giving life to the next Messiah. You're not the only person on the planet to make a baby. So please don't behave like it. And please don't treat your child as if it's the only living miracle, because it's not. Billions have come before your baby. And hopefully, if we can get a handle on this global warming thing, billions more are yet to come. So slow down and regain your cool right here and now. The way my husband Yannick and I found out that we were pregnant was pretty funny, and it forced me to slow down instantaneously. I was 19. I had been well on my way to becoming a bit of a party girl. I'd graduated from high school with honors, but made no plans for a post-secondary education. Instead, I was traveling and working a couple of jobs while trying to get my acting career off the ground. During this self-discovery hiatus from my education, I started dating a fellow actor, Yannick Bisson. He was quite successful and had lived on his own since he was 15. He was Mr. Independent, well on his way with his life plan. He lived with two other actors who, like me, but unlike Yannick, worked in the restaurant business. Unlike me, my new boyfriend and his roommates liked to party. I hadn't even touched a drop of alcohol until I was 18, whereas plenty of kids I'd been in school with were spending many nights on basement bathroom floors. When I started dating Yannick and hanging out with older people, my partying escalated, which I believe could have led me down a not-so-great path. Luckily for my well-being, it wasn't long before I discovered I was pregnant, only a few months into dating him. That stopped me dead in my tracks. My life was changed forever and for the better. I remember my first thoughts very clearly. When was the last time I smoked a cigarette? When was my last drink? Have I done any drugs while I was pregnant? I was also concerned because I'd just been at an amusement park with a girlfriend days earlier, riding all the roller coasters multiple times. How pregnant was I? Well, it turned out that when I'd ridden the roller coasters, I was already 10 weeks pregnant. By the time I took a pregnancy test, I was 11 weeks along, and when I had my first ultrasound, I was 13 weeks pregnant. I know you're asking yourself, how did she not know she was expecting until she was 10 weeks along? Is she dumb? No, I'm not dumb. And if you don't realize you're pregnant right away, you're not dumb either. If you have uneven menstrual cycles, and especially if you aren't actually trying to get pregnant, it's easy to miss. I had two periods and didn't really begin to think something was up until everywhere I went, I was falling asleep standing up, and I developed extremely tender breasts and a little paunch in my midsection. I was an actress and dancer who had never had a belly in her entire life. So before my next period was due, Yannick and I finally did a home pregnancy test. The test screamed at us, "What are you, stupid? Of course you're pregnant." It was literally turning positive while I was peeing on it. Okay, well, not while I was peeing on it, but it went positive before I could even lay it on the counter. There was no waiting involved. We were pregnant, and life got really serious really fast. It probably did for you too. The moment you discover you're pregnant, or you learn that you're finally going to be able to bring home a child by whatever means, everything in life becomes of consequence. It doesn't matter if it was planned and thought out, if you waited for your baby for many years, or if it took you entirely by surprise. The reality of having or getting a baby is scary, life-changing shit. You will have temporary moments of, what am I doing here? And what have I gotten myself into? And that's okay. It's normal to wig out when the dream of parenthood finally becomes a reality. Lucky for you, I'm going to be your new best friend. Unlike your other best friends who didn't tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth, I'm actually going to pass on all the wisdom I've gained and lessons I've learned through 31 years of parenthood. So, where do you begin? We'll begin at the beginning. What do you need to make your house into a home? I've got some ideas about what you do and do not need. What can you expect from this new person who will be moving in with you and your significant other? Plenty and nothing at the same time, if that makes any sense at all. Here goes. Find a great doctor or birthing practitioner. First things first. If you haven't already done this, get a great doctor or birthing practitioner, one you feel comfortable saying anything to or asking anything of. Make sure you can discuss the most intimate things imaginable with them. For example, my husband, in my opinion, has a very large penis. How long can I continue to have sex with him? Things that your friends can't tell you. Even I can't tell you that. I'm not a doctor, and I've never seen said penis. A doctor is the best person to answer questions about how long it's safe for you to continue having sex. You might have less important questions like, why is it that sometimes when I sneeze, I also shart? Now this I can answer from experience. It's because there's a tiny human taking up all the space where your organs used to live freely. Now they're being squeezed by your baby, and sometimes things slip out when they're not meant to. Essentially, there just isn't room for all of it up in there, at least for now. A good doctor, one you have a strong, comfortable relationship with, can walk you through all the things the books and your girlfriends will never tell you. Things like the 99% chance you will poo on the table while you deliver. I did. And that if you deliver vaginally without an epidural, you will never, ever be prepared for the amount of pain that you will feel. In fact, I have many girlfriends who did have an epidural and still speak of unimaginable pain before the effects of the epidural kicked in. Here's the thing you're probably learning as you get deeper into your journey. Everybody has a ton of opinions, just like everybody thinks it's totally cool and all right to put their hand on your belly when you're growing your human. Excuse me? Would you walk up to me and just touch my stomach if I wasn't pregnant? We all know the answer to that. No, you would not. Anyway, back to my original point. You've probably already learned that everybody wants to give you advice now that you're showing, or now that they know the arrival date of your adopted or surrogate baby. To those of you who are pregnant, some will tell you to absolutely get the epidural. And some will tell you that you don't need it, that it actually goes by extremely fast, and you won't remember it anyway, so go the natural route. To that I say, they don't live in your body. They don't know your pain threshold. You might be like me and be able to dance on a sprained ankle for 3 weeks doing 8 shows a day. Or you might be the sort of person who has to take an oxycodone and lie in bed for days after stubbing your toe. Only you know what you can or cannot handle in the pain department. So the decision is entirely, exclusively your business and the business of your partner. To epidural or not epidural? That is the question. So, as you're new to all this, let me give you some information about epidurals, or the pros and cons of them, if you will. The side effects can be merely inconvenient, such as itching, nausea, and vomiting, fever, or a sore back for a few days in the place where they stuck the needle, which looks big enough to vaccinate a horse. Or there can be rarer, yet more serious complications. Sometimes the anesthetic can cause your breathing to slow. If they get the shit into your veins, it can cause seizures. If they're having an off day, they can slip and nick your spinal cord, causing a severe headache or temporary or even permanent loss of feeling in your lower body. Yeah, no thanks. When I read about all the possible side effects, I had a super stern talk with myself. It went something like this. Bitch, nothing lasts forever. This includes the pain of delivering your babies. Take a Tylenol 3 or a Demerol if you must, but do not go for this epidural shit. And so I didn't. And maybe, just maybe, if you got yourself an awesome holistic advisor you can have honest conversations with, you can ask what they know about reducing pain with little or no risk to you or your baby during what is undoubtedly going to be the worst agony you ever experience in 5 lifetimes. I've heard rumors that water births are virtually painless. I say rumor because I've pushed 3 humans out of my body and don't see how that could be even remotely possible. Another fun fact, you will believe that your vag is never going to be the same again. For a few weeks, your greatest fear will be that the sandpapery feeling between your legs will be your vag's new normal, that it will never again be a place where fun happens. I'm here to tell you it does go away, and the fun will return to it again. I promise you this. You have my word. But do me a favor. After you deliver your baby, go and smack all your girlfriends who didn't tell you just how bad the pain would be. Those nasty bitches should have been more upfront with you, like I'm being now. The truth is ugly, but freeing. If you know what to expect, really expect, you can be prepared for it. I prepared for it by taking Lamaze birthing classes and choosing a doctor who delivered in a hospital with a birthing center. This center had options for water births and allowed me to decide how many people I wanted in my birthing room with me. The room was also private, and I stayed there from the beginning stages of labor all the way to delivery. Barring any complications, this too can happen for you. The Lamaze classes enabled me to deliver all 3 girls without the need for an epidural. Although, this was mostly because when my water broke each time, my labor still never started on its own. I would just lie there or walk around until the time ran out. Eventually, the baby would be in there for too long without enough amniotic fluid, and then I'd be induced. Let me tell you a little bit about being induced. Shit happens very fast once they put you on that drip, aka Pitocin. So fast in my case that, in fact, there was no time for an epidural, even if I'd wanted it. There were a few times when contractions were rolling one over the other, seemingly with no end in sight, putting me in so much pain that I wanted to A, murder Yannick, B, rip the baby out of my body myself, C, get the fucking epidural. But the thing that saved me and allowed me to stick with my original plan to not risk an epidural was that my contractions, even on Pitocin, were slow to build, which meant I was also slow to dilate. It all seemed quite lovely until it wasn't. And by the time it wasn't, I was too dilated, too close to pushing, to change my Lamaze loving mind. Once you're close to pushing, the labor and delivery nurses want you to be able to be an active participant. I was so close that the epidural would have been setting in after the baby was already out. So, at the birth of every daughter, it was just me, the Demerol, the contractions, and my convictions. And guess what? I survived. Every pregnancy is different, just like every human being is different. However your baby comes to you is all good, whether it's via a vaginal birth or cesarean, surrogate or adoption. The result is the same. You now have a baby, and that's amazing. Your first homework assignment, as I said, is to do your research and find a fab doctor or birthing practitioner who can be a midwife, a doula, a Lamaze coach, or whoever resonates with you and gives you confidence in your birthing journey. Choose someone who shares your philosophies on how and where to bring a life into this world. Maybe you want to give birth in a hospital or birthing center or hell, maybe even at home in a kiddie pool like Kourtney Kardashian. Pick your birthing poison, my friends, so that you will be as physically and emotionally comfortable as you possibly can. Please don't drink while pregnant. To me, this next piece of advice seems like a no-brainer, but I'm going to address it just to be on the safe side. There are a lot of varying opinions on this. In Europe, many women think nothing of a glass of wine or beer every day while pregnant. Some women even believe that beer post-delivery helps with milk production. I'm not a beer drinker, even on the hottest summer day, so I can't weigh in on whether this is actually fact. If you enjoy a little alcohol in your life, like I do, I'm no teetotaler, I will ask you to do this one little thing. Please don't drink while pregnant. Let me repeat this. Please don't drink while pregnant. Alcohol is a known teratogen, an agent or factor that causes malformation of an embryo. We know the detrimental effects of alcohol in the fully formed adult brain. Just imagine what it can do to your baby's brand new, just beginning to develop brain. The verdict is still out as to how much alcohol actually causes fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, FASD, in an unborn baby. We don't know if it's a drink a day, two a day, one a week, two a week. There are no proven facts. So, if we don't have these stats, why would you risk it at all? You get only one chance to make a healthy baby. The effects of FASD can include physical, mental, behavioral, and learning disabilities. Even without drinking, there's a chance your healthy kid could end up with obsessive compulsive disorder or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, or any number of other challenges. Do you really want to increase the odds? For me, this falls into the same category as the epidural. It's such a short moment in your life. Are the potential side effects for your unborn baby really worth the momentary relief or enjoyment you'll get from the occasional glass of wine? Of course, I can't answer that for you. I can and did answer it for myself. But if you're unsure, just do your homework. Research the issue, seek advice from those who know, and make your choice. But I will say this. Most of you didn't have your first drink until you were in your late teens, right? If you went all those years without a cocktail or a glass of wine, what's 9 months? Honestly, do your baby a favor and put down the glass. The Institute of Medicine sums up why I chose not to touch alcohol during my pregnancies. Of all the substances of abuse, including cocaine, heroin, and marijuana, alcohol produces by far the most serious neurobehavioral effects in the fetus. This has been a public service announcement. Thank you. Time to adopt a healthy lifestyle. Throughout my career of nosily watching other people, I have found there are two times in my life when people tend to really make their health a priority. One, when they're getting married, and two, when they're getting divorced. I implore you to add one more time in your life when your health should be your number one priority, when you're planning on becoming a parent. Even if you're not the person actually carrying the child, I don't want you to skip over this section. I want to really emphasize that. Even if you're adopting, that's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Being a parent requires you to be healthy for so many reasons. For example, you won't be sleeping all that much for the first year of your baby's life, give or take. Being well enables you to combat the kinds of illnesses that often come with being fucking exhausted. Then, there are the illnesses you can pick up once they're off to nursery school or kindergarten. They will get germy, they'll bring home many bugs, and you need to be ready for it, mentally and physically. These are just the most obvious reasons. Somebody needs to nurse the sick kid, keep the house in check, and make the money. Trust me when I tell you that you cannot do any of these things if you don't take care of your own wellness first. So, do yourself a favor. Be healthy so you can stay healthy. Another reason to begin focusing on your health before baby arrives, or as we will refer to it, BBA, is that you will have less time for yourself the moment they come home. Once you have a little human as your first priority, everything else takes a distant second place. So make sure you start on this road to excellent health long before you actually get pregnant or bring baby home. Today is a great day to begin with a new, healthier lifestyle. You might read this as, oh, well, she says to get healthy before, but I'm already pregnant, so I'm too late. I'll get to it after the baby arrives. Or you might think, I'll get my wellness in check before the next one. I've seen many, many people go this route, and I will tell you that it is not pretty. I advise doing it now, not later.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?